Drive Time Sports co-host and author, Rick Schaefer. Good afternoon, Mr. Schaefer.
Hi, Justin. Hi, Pat. I'm sorry I'm an hour late. I was supposed to be on with you an hour earlier. As you know, I during the daytime, I do work for the Springdale School District in communications, and we had a big meeting this morning with half the faculty that the Chamber of Commerce does every year, and it just went a little bit longer than I thought it was going to, so I'm sorry I'm a little bit late.
Well, no worries at all. We're happy to have you whenever we can get you, and I want to do a Randy Rainwater welcome. Good afternoon, Mr. Rick Schaefer. How's the weather up there,
Rick? Give me a weather report. I tell you, Pat, it's absolutely fantastic. It's absolutely beautiful up here. You could play any sport that you wanted to. It is 81 degrees, and still, it's just gorgeous. You guys know I'm a baseball fan. Mm-hmm. We ought to be playing baseball year-round. I mean, why not when you get days like this, right?
Oh, Rick, I got to be honest. As a Cubs fan, I'm trying to get the major league season pared back to like 1 month. It's very frustrating.
Every year, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I've come to terms with it, though. You know what? Yeah. I'm not getting off the wagon, though. Like many Razorback fans are not getting off the wagon, despite
That's
some...
Right. Well, the Razorbacks have won big more recently than the Cubs have.
This is true. This is
true. My brother's a big Cub fan. 1 year for his birthday, I got him a World Champions 1908 shirt. He appreciated that.
You know what? At least they won sometime. We're going to be celebrating the 64 football team this year for their 50th anniversary, so it's okay to look back a little bit. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is. So
Big Rick.
I'm sure that there was a mention or two of the 64 team. 100 things Arkansas fans should know and do before they die. So tell me what the basis of the book was and how you came up with the idea.
Well, the basis, I didn't come up with the idea. Actually, there's a company, Triumph Books. They do these for other schools. They called me and asked me if I'd like to do it. I said, sure, I would. I've been working on another book at the same time, Frank Broyles' biography, which is a much more... That's a long, detailed work, and hopefully that'll be published sometime next fall. But so this was, and they gave me the liberty to pick in the 100 things. So I had a list of 100 things in football. They said, oh, well, we want to include some basketball. I said, okay, how many basketballs do you want? It was 10 or 12. And then it's, oh, and we want to include some things that Razorback fans need to do. And so during my tenure as sports information director, and there's still good places to go, we took the media to Herman's or Mary Maestri's. So we've got something about that. We've got something about the catfish hole in there, obviously, which seems to win every recruit that comes to Arkansas because of the catfish hole. And then I did sneak John McDonald in because if you got to know 100 things about the Razorbacks, you got to know about John McDonald.
Can I ask you if there's anything in there about visiting the Bud Walton Arena Museum?
I think there might be. I've got the museums in there, but I can't remember if I put the Broyles Center and Bud Walton or not. I finished this a few months ago, guys, so there
you
may
slept
be.
Since
I
think then.
The museums are in there. I even put Visit Crystal Bridges in there. Have you all been there?
Haven't been.
I have. It's amazing. Gosh. If that place was empty, it'd be incredible, and it's full of beautiful, amazing art. So.
Now, Rick, of the 100 things, how many times did you do all of those? Because you've done all 100.
Well, I obviously know about all the subjects, and but how many have I actually done? Well, these things that I've asked people to experience, I think I've done all of those. So, but that may
he's
be
eaten in Herman's
only,
at least.
That's only 10. Oh, yeah.
He took Bob Ryan to Herman's, didn't you?
Yeah.
When you
were playing, he came in to write a story about you.
I know I shouldn't be jealous. I know it's a sin, but boy, I was jealous that you got a chance to sit across, had some ribs with Bob Ryan. Can you imagine that?
That is big time. I would love to have ribs with Bob Ryan or catfish for that matter.
Yeah. We've had a lot of people there. In fact, there's a story. I've even got a mention of taking Jim Nance there one time, and I think it was before a game in 95, and Jim's dad traveled with him some. Jim obviously lived up where close to where CBS was. He lived in Connecticut. His dad lived in Houston his whole life. They came together, came to the Arkansas game. We took them all out to Herman's, and Jim later told me his dad eventually died of Alzheimer's, and he told me that was one of the last times he ever had with his dad before that memory loss started coming.
Wow.
And right there at Herman's. And so when Jim wrote his book, which is an excellent book, I guess about 6 or 7 years ago, and came in to promote it with Walmart and Sam's, he called me and so we took him to Herman's the night before he was meeting with Sam's, and he was recalling that. So
That's a nice memory.
Yeah, very nice.
I'll tell you what, that's a good one you want to hold on to for sure, anything you did there. There's a story here I see in the notes that I was given, how the Razorback uniform configuration is considered a curse. What is the story behind this, or do I have to buy the book and read it?
I don't know.
Come on, give us a taste, Rick. Come on.
Story?
I'm telling you, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know where they got that.
You playing coy?
No, I'm not playing coy.
Stories include, okay.
I don't have a clue what that is.
I can't wait to... I'm going to have to read the whole book.
I didn't write that. I didn't write my bio that's on here either, because Randy pointed out there's nothing about Drive Time Sports on here. So I'm sorry. Yeah, it's all about the Razorbacks.
Rick, how many pages?
They mention your 10 dogs, but they don't mention Drive Time or your man Randy. You got 10 dogs?
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. Sure do.
Wow. Do you mind if I ask what kind of breeds? I mean, we...
No, not at all.
You got one of each?
Well, one of each. No, we've got... two flat-coated retrievers, and that they are pure. We've got a mini Doberman, and he's a cute dog. But I tell you, he's one that is the most loyal dog, but he's one that if you came into our house and didn't know you, he might go after you. So you be careful with him.
Okay.
The rest of them, they're all kind of mixes. They come to us.
Can you rattle me 10 names off? I mean, could you rattle all 10?
Oh, sure. They think it's a great place to live, so they keep coming. Yeah, you want to know all the
names? Yeah, I want to know all 10 dogs' names.
Okay.
This is going to be a trivia question, Pat.
By age. There you go. Okay, there's Allie. She's our oldest one. And then there's Biddy, and there's Buddy, and there's Molly, and there's, you're going to love this one, Ripken. And
of course.
You got to have one named after Cal Ripken, right? Okay, there is Reese, Bear, Bandit. Let's see. That gets me down to two more.
Got to be Freaky Joe and Randy.
No, not Freaky Joe and Randy. I'm trying to think of our other two dogs. Baby, because she was so little when we first got her.
That's the name of my dog.
Really?
Really?
Yep.
Baby. There you go.
That's the only thing you and Matt Travis have in common, thank goodness.
Rick, you forgot the name of the 10th dog?
Oh, no, you're going to go home and be the one that's crying because you forgot to mention him on the radio.
Sniffers.
Sniffers.
Sniffer?
Yeah, Sniffers, yeah.
Sniffers, okay.
We adopted her when she was 9 years old. She was at a no-kill shelter, and somebody took her when she was early, and she's deathly afraid of storms. And evidently she knocked these people's door down one time, and so they took her back to the no-kill. She was in a no-kill shelter for 7 years, if you can imagine that.
Wow.
We've got her, and she is the most wonderful dog. I mean, all of them are great.
Do you walk them all at one time?
No, we can't walk them all at once, but at night.
What is he, an octopus? I mean, come on. He's a human being, Pat.
Man, we never get these questions on Drive Time Sports.
You know what? This is interesting, though. Rick, they want to know about the man behind the man, because all Randy ever asked you about is the stinking weather up there. I mean, we got to talk about something else.
I do want to know about Rick. I want to know how often he gets his hair cut. I want to know what he eats for breakfast.
What is a typical...
Who cuts you here?
Rick, you're a...
I can tell you a funny story about that.
Okay, let's go.
Back when I was sports information director, and Bill Rogers, who you would remember, Pat, was the assistant, and both of us had similar haircuts, and a guy named Bill Cousins, who was the sports information director at Rice, was in town for a basketball game, and he looked at us, he said, where do you get a haircut here? You need to get a haircut. And then he looked at both of us, and he said, I'm talking to the last two guys in America with bowl haircuts, and I'm asking them where to get my haircut.
Hello. I love it. What was your other question you were asking? Oh, about what? You're a slightly built fella, Rick. I want to know what you do to stay so svelte. What do you eat? Like, what's a typical breakfast for you?
Well, I walk 10 dogs.
Okay, there you go. You know what?
That's the answer to that question.
Chasing dogs around.
That's
for
good.
Breakfast should be your best meal, and I don't eat much for breakfast. I surely don't. If you ever listen to the show, I love Coca-Cola. And so I'm going to definitely have a Coke for breakfast. Definitely have a Coke for lunch.
No coffee?
And, well, I'll have something with
you and Baz.
I'll have something light with a snack bar or something. But I don't eat a whole lot.
So
and we eat some dinner with as a family. We eat dinner.
I'm fascinated by this. You have a is it a classic Coca-Cola in the can?
Oh yeah.
Or do you go bottle?
No. Well, it's definitely better out of the bottles than a can. And we have the convenience stores up here that right now you get them for $1 for 32 ounces. And when that's over with, it's like $1.40 for 32 ounces.
You don't seem like a fountain Coca-Cola guy.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I like it with crushed ice. Sonics.
Oh, you do?
Sonics are great, yeah.
Welcome back to Get to Know the Author on 103.7
The Buzz. I can't believe we're talking about
this. I find
this
fascinating.
Amazing.
I really do. Yeah. I like it. Rick's book is 100 Things Arkansas Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and unlike in the... bio of the book, he likes to mention Randy Rainwater. There is a forward by Quinn Grovey, too, who's
that should be cool.
My favorite number four of all time. He moved ahead of Brett Favre because Brett broke my heart and went to Minnesota.
Rick Quinn says way too many nice things about me. I didn't ask him to do that. It was supposed to be about the Razorbacks, and he's got some of that, too.
Oh, I had a guy ask
great,
me.
Great friend.
Sorry to interrupt. Is it in hardback or paperback or both?
It's paperback, and so that means it's only $14.95.
How many pages in this book, Rick? Because I'm curious.
Enough that you can get through it, Pat. It's 236. Well, it's an easy read. There are a lot of pictures.
There you go.
Okay.
You can enjoy that. And let me just share this. This is one thing you got to say about the book. Bob Chain was the sports information director at the University of Arkansas from 1948 through 1968. He is the guy that researched all the original records for the original. So you go back in the 60s and look at the press guides, and you'll see numbers from the 30s and the 20s, and I'm thinking, how in the world did he do that? And he went into the university library and researched day after day after day after day after day to come up with all this. Well, I've known Bob for years, known him since I came here, and but I've never really sat down and talked to him that much about history at great length. So I had a two-hour session with him and learned an enormous amount that I didn't know. And a lot of that's in this book, especially talking about 48 through 68, several of the times from that era. And he passed away 5 weeks later. So that was one, and he knows the Lord, he's in heaven, so that's he's a happy man. But how wonderful that I was able to speak with him at that time. And so there are some tidbits in this book from those type of eras, not one of which is the curse of the uniform. I don't know anything about that.
We'll have to look that up. It's got to be anyway, in there.
Rick doesn't believe in curses.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Hey, Rick, I'm sorry. I just ordered it. It's $11.36 on Amazon with free Prime shipping.
Oh, wow, look at that, Matty.
And so that means I should have it by Saturday.
Oh, buddy.
Wow, Matt. Well, thank you. Thanks for doing it.
Should have it read by 2017, then.
Yeah. Hey, unless I keep it in the bathroom, then it'll be done pretty quickly.
No doubt. No doubt about that. Rick, I was going to ask about you're kind of savantish when it comes to Razorback trivia and Razorback history. What's your next best go-to? Like, if you had to do, if you're on Jeopardy and it had to be one topic, what would be your next best bet?
Probably Major League Baseball history, or particularly way backs and I'd say the 60s or 70s. Let's see. I'd be pretty good at that. I like history a lot too.
Yeah.
You guys like history?
Love history.
I'm a Civil War buff.
Yeah. Are you?
No, not really, but I'd like to be. I'd like to be a buff. I do find war history very fascinating.
You like to be buff.
Yeah, I do too.
Do you have a baseball card collection?
I do.
What is your most prized card?
Okay, my favorite card is not the most valuable card I have. Now, I don't have any cards that are worth like $1,000 or anything like that. All my 50s cards and 60s cards that you had, those are all gone from early childhood. But my favorite card, for the way it looks, and the I've got two cards, I'd say. I've got a 1959 Frank Robinson card that I really like. I loved him with the Orioles, but he's with the Reds then. But it's a black border, and it's just a really striking-looking card, and it's a nice pose. And then my brother, for my birthday one year, gave me a 1958 Brooks Robinson that, I'm telling you, it looks like it came out of the wrapper yesterday. And to have a card that's in that type of shape from 58 is amazing. So I'd say those two, and I got quite a few Cal Ripken cards.
I'm assuming you've had a chance to meet Brooks at some point along the way.
Yeah, I have. He's a friend of a friend of mine, and one year I was up in Baltimore, and he actually got me tickets for an Oriole-Yankee game, which I'm glad he did, because later you find out those are hard to get, or were, until both teams slid a little bit. But and then he came here and did a fundraiser dinner for Norm DeBrien one year, and I had a chance to visit with him.
Okay. Well, I had a chance to meet him once, too. He's an amazing man, for sure. Let me get Steven here. He has a question for you. This has turned into 100 things you need to know about Rick Schaefer before you die.
Yeah, please.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Well, first, Rick, I want to just thank you for all the work you have done for us fans. And amazing mind and spirit and heart. But I wanted to ask you, because I was told that you didn't grow up in Arkansas. Where did you grow up in?
Grew up in Oklahoma.
Okay.
I grew up in the Oklahoma City area. And, you know, it's interesting now, because you think every kid in Arkansas should be a Razorback fan. I never liked the University of Oklahoma. Uh-huh. And so I wanted something different. And in the summer of 1965, my family and I visited Northwest Arkansas. My dad was a salesman, and he had a business over here. And I remember eating at just about any place you ate. They had these placemats that had game by game the 1964 Razorback season. And I had followed it, and I remember watching the Cotton Bowl, and I loved the hogs on the helmet. And that's kind of where I got fascinated with Arkansas.
You know, I'll just say this briefly. I had a buddy who was born here but moved out to California as a kid. He said the same thing. He said, well, now, we were from Arkansas, but we lived out in California. I love the Razorbacks uniform, and I love that hog. Well, buddy, thank you for everything you have done.
Well, thank you.
And the work that you do on the information on the broadcast, it just helps us when we don't have it on TV. It helps us so much to see it in our mind. So
thank you.
Great job.
Hey, Steve,
well,
thanks for the
very
call.
Much.
You
and
bet.
I would echo those feelings, and I'm sure there are a lot of listeners listening that would feel exactly the same way, Rick. Your contributions are, I mean, you're never going to get as much back as what you've given in, certainly, over the years. But the good news is, growing up in Oklahoma, much like here in Arkansas, everybody dislikes Texas, so we have that in common. So it was a natural transition for you.
That's right, yeah. It's easy to dislike them, unless you're a Texas fan.
That's
even
true.
People in Texas, if you're not a Texas fan, you don't like them.
I appreciate their snottiness and their passion for their team. Rick, let me ask you, we were talking earlier with Pat. He's got a spectacular class going in to the Razorback Hall of Honor this year, which,
yeah.
I mean, it is such an elite group.
Yeah.
And you look at the small number of athletes who have been inducted into that and coaches over the years.
Yeah.
Memories of Pat's team that first year, because we were talking, I mean, it is amazing and almost impossible to believe that that's the last Sweet 16 team that Arkansas has been able to muster over the years.
You know, that year wasn't, you know, we just came off national championship and national runner-up. And we had that class was rated at the time. Pat was a freshman in a class that was rated the number one class in the country. And recruiting for basketball services hadn't been doing it that long. So maybe 10 or 12 years, they said it was the best ever. As Pat well remembers, a couple of them never made it.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them, you know, got tossed off the team. And Sunday Adebayo miraculously came back later.
Mm.
But down the stretch, I don't know if Nolan just decided, hey, we're just going to play the young guys because we got to build for the future, or whether the young guys were it. But the last few games of the season and into the Southeastern Conference Tournament, we started four freshmen, and Pat was among those. Derek Hood, Kareem Reed was actually a redshirt freshman, and Marlon Towns, who left after that year. And so there we were at the end of the year, struggling, went to the Southeastern Conference Tournament, playing South Carolina, win, and you might get in the NCAA, lose, and there's no way. And so we beat South Carolina that night to get to play Kentucky, and I can say we because I was with the program then. Normally I wouldn't do that. But to play Kentucky, and fortunately Kentucky was so good that the fact that they beat us didn't hurt us that much. And then Pat will remember this. We got the best draw. We got the best draw. We were a 12, but you're playing fours and fives that had never played anybody that played like Arkansas. And so Marquette was one of them, and it was the other
Penn State.
Yeah, Penn State was the other one.
In Providence,
Rhode Island, which is a neat little town, which Pat probably loved because it's close to Boston. And we beat both of them and got to the Sweet 16, and then, of course, ran into Marcus Camby in Massachusetts. That wasn't quite as much fun.
Yeah.
But that was a great finish to that year, and those guys just did a great job of getting us down the stretch and into the NCAA. We had a long streak at that time, and it could have ended, and instead they kept it going.
Well, that's pretty wild. That the last time we were in the Sweet 16, it was a home state team that knocked you out.
Yeah, it was UMass.
And Arkansas's return to the
John
Sweet
Calipari.
16, they're going to play a team from my home state. That's going to be
state.
This year. That's right, big guy. I'm dragging PB up to Ames, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Are you? Well, good.
Yeah, it's going to be
good. It was funny you said that, because John Anxgove, who was my roommate that year, first Derek Hood and Anxgove, when we were in Providence, each morning he would wake up to about 10 people from Everett, Mass, sleeping on the floor.
they
had no place to stay. They just came up.
Hey, Rick, are you still involved in the event on Sunday? Are you still doing
the fan day? I'm going to be there briefly, but I'm not involved.
Okay. No. I thought you did something that was, or is that a different time of year?
No, that's the spring game. We do Champions for Kids says Razor
that's
Fest.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, my
that's
fault.
That's spring game. No,
fan
day's only a two-hour event.
Did you get a chance to see anything this year yet? As far as the team goes?
Practice?
Yeah.
Randy came up. We watched scrimmage together last Saturday.
Oh, good. Oh, that's right.
And,
yeah. Appreciate you guys covering media day for us, too.
Of course.
What were your takeaways from Saturday?
Well, one, that the secondary looks like it's vastly improved as far as coverage on receivers. Now, there were a couple times when they gave up completions, when guys were very well covered, which speaks well for Brandon Allen and Austin Allen, who threw the passes, I thought Brandon threw the ball very well, a lot of zip on the ball, much more than he had last year, which shows that his shoulder was hurt. That's encouraging. Is he perfect yet? No, he's not perfect, but I think he's going to be a lot better. Receiving core is going to be okay. Running game got stuffed, but you know, you're going against yourself. That's okay. That'll get better. But I think the one thing that is encouraging is the thing we've talked about all along, is this is going to be a better defensive football team. You can be I'm not saying that last year's offense would have won seven games with a decent defense, but it might have. And so I think this team will be good enough offensively that if the defense is dramatically improved, I think it's a very realistic thought that Arkansas could be in a bowl game this year.
Boy, I sure hope so.
Yeah, me too.
I have a dinner wager with one of our salespeople that they're going to win more than five or more, so I'd love to get to six wins at least.
That'd be great.
That's right.
I love bowl games. They're so fun. Even if it's a Liberty Bowl and it's 12 degrees outside, it's fun.
That was brutal.
That was really cold.
Quinn Grovey's pants catch on fire.
Is that what happened? I didn't know that story.
Yeah. Liberty Bowl, he's working the sidelines like he always did, and I don't know how many layers he had on. He had a lot of layers on, and he backed up to one of the team heaters, and his pants caught on fire.
Wow, I never heard that story.
Yeah,
he is hot to trot indeed, Quinn Grovey.
Very good. If I said that, I'd get buzzed.
Well, I think that's true.
Great that you were able to say that.
Oh, Rick.
That's right. Well, how many years, Rick, is it now with the university?
Well, I worked there for 24 years, and
we're still kind of working there. You're on the broadcast.
Yeah. Still going to do football and baseball this year, so that would be 38.
38 years.
Yeah. Jeez. You know, when you start when you're 14, it's great to be able to stay that long.
Oh, Rick. Now we got to buzz him. Buzz him. There you go. And you love the black unis, right?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
No.
What about
and people say that, you know, gosh, you never say anything bad about the university or anything like that or administrators. And I don't, and here's why. I know what they go through. I worked in that building for 24 years. I know what coaches go through. If you want to complain about them, that's okay. I don't need to. But anthracite, I don't like.
I'm with you, and that's my biggest deal. And I think that's why I've always had pretty good rapport with coaches and players. And I'm not saying I don't ever criticize, because I certainly do. But at the end of the day, I have a lot of respect for what they do, because it's not easy. And you're in the limelight. Pat, you've been there. I mean, you've been an athlete.
White helmet, Red Hog. How about that? You guys like that?
Oh, my gosh.
That's old school. No. Come on, Rick, that's throwback.
Not old school.
I thought they did.
Well,
I thought they had white helmets way back in the day.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. I'm old school.
They didn't have a helmet on them then.
They didn't have a hog on them.
Oh,
they had white heads, and they just imprinted a red hog on there, I guess.
I don't know if I've told you this before, Justin, but for me, the quintessential Rick Schaefer story, when I was walking to practice one day, he's driving by, pulls over and asks me if I wanted a ride. I jump in, takes me down to Bud Walton Arena. And he was getting out, too. He was going to the arena. And it was in the time where you didn't have the automatic lock. You know, now we all have the keychain where you press the button and it automatically locks. So we're getting out of the car, and I must have noticed that he wasn't pressing the button to lock all the doors. And I said, well, you want me to lock your car door? And he says, no, you can just leave it unlocked. I said, really, Rick? Wow. He goes, all I have in here is my Bible and my Christian cassette tapes. And if they want to steal them, they can have them. And he left his doors unlocked. And I always think about that.
Boy, how terrible would you feel if you broke into a guy's car and you stole his Bible?
But he wanted.
I figured that'd be an opportunity for somebody to read
that
didn't usually do so.
Rick's going to put a little Jesus on you. Look out now. Come on.
You want to steal? Steal my Bible.
That's it. I like that, Rick. Well, that's good. You know what? That is a quintessential Rick Schaefer story.
That's why I always leave my doors unlocked.
I like to tell quintessential Rick James stories, but those are completely different than that, which is a different deal. But 100 things Arkansas fans should know and do before they die. Do not ask him about the uniform configuration. That's a curse. You'll have to read the book to find out, because he don't know.
That's right.
Rick, I appreciate it. Look forward to hearing you tonight
Justin, Pat,
at 4
great
o'clock.
Being on with you. Thank you very much.
Enjoyed it. Thanks for
your
time.
All right, Rick.
Okay.